Happy Wednesday, or whatever day you are listening to this. We are talking about one of my favorite topics today, body positivity. Today I chat with Too Much to Handle listener Kelly, who says that she is sick of faking it till she makes it in terms of loving her body. We talk about how oftentimes we act like we love our bodies and are comfortable in our skin in front of others, but engage in some pretty negative self-talk when we're in private, and sometimes even secretly hate our bodies. I know this topic really resonated with me, so I brought in expert Whitney Catalano, who is an anti-diet registered dietitian, to help us figure out how to bridge the gap between how we act about our bodies and how we really feel, all with the intention of learning to love and accept our bodies as they are.
When I was growing up, I was always told that I was too much to handle. I was too loud, too opinionated, too demanding, just plain too much. Now, as an adult, I celebrate these qualities within myself and within the women I know. This is a call to action. This is a space to own your too muchness. This is Too Much to Handle.
I am so excited to welcome Too Much to Handle listener Kelly to the show. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Hannah.
Can I tell you that I am one of your fans because you were like such a amazing, I guess, like first adopter supporter of Too Much to Handle. And like every time you would repost something on your story, I'd be like, oh, I'm so excited.
I was excited when you announced the podcast because I just found you. And then all of a sudden you announced it and I'm like, yes, this is good. This is perfect.
Amazing. Now we're full circle and now you're coming on the podcast, which is beautiful. You actually sent me a DM and you asked a question about body positivity, which obviously is something that I'm really, really passionate about. And you said, quote, that you were trying to figure out how to internalize the attitude that you have outwardly to your inner private thoughts because you've been stuck at this sort of fake it till you make it for 4 years.
Yeah. I started doing the fake it till you make it thing. I think it was a Tumblr post because bless Tumblr and it's life advice. Like somewhere after my sophomore year of college and like that summer really kicked it into high drive of just my humor turned more rather than derogatory humor. It was more uplifting and like rather than compare myself to a trash can, it turned into I am the epitome of grace and elegance. And like, most of the time I can exude that confidence. It's wonderful. But then I stand in front of a mirror, take off my shirt and I'm like, oh, that's what we're hiding. So that misalignment of my exterior, my interior just throws a lot of unnecessary anxiety on top of my current anxiety.
Right. Wow. Well, first of all, I want to thank you for sharing and thank you for being vulnerable and opening up about that. Cause I think it's something that a lot of women go through and a lot of people in general go through. And sometimes we're scared to talk about it because it's scared to open up and it's scared to be vulnerable. It's scary to be vulnerable. So I am a huge fan of fake it till you make it because let me tell you why, because oftentimes, I think your brain doesn't know the difference between reality and fantasy. So if you start tricking yourself and start acting like somebody who's confident, eventually your brain is going to catch up, right? But I have a theory of why maybe that's not working for you and why you feel sort of stuck in this fake it to make it, but your inner private thoughts are totally different. But we're going to get to that. I want to get to that a little bit later because I want to ask you a few more questions because I do think being sort of like stuck in that, my outward demeanor is totally different than my inner demeanor is really hard because it's very conflicting. And when you feel conflicted, you're not feeling like you're being authentic. and it can be really frustrating and anxiety provoking. So if you're comfortable sharing, I'd love to ask sort of what some of your inner private thoughts sound like, what they have to say about your body.
Oh, of course. A lot of it is like, you could fix this so easily. Cause like I've done gym memberships. I've tried like, you know, healthy eating, not full dieting, but just healthy eating, cutting back, trying to say no to things. And it just gets really down on my mentality of like, it doesn't have to be this way. But then you have the other side of it where it's like, but why am I upset with it? It's still beautiful no matter what it is. Because I definitely, like, it's all there in my brain and the mentality. It's just the emotional part of it has not latched on yet.
Right.
Yeah.
And what does fake it till you make it mean to you?
Saying things out loud that you don't necessarily believe yet. You wouldn't want to say something that you would never want to believe, obviously, but like,
right.
You have, I wanted to feel positive about my body, to be less afraid of putting on crop tops or I'm scared of going for a run in the street. One, because I'm hate running. It's not my favorite. It's so hard for me. But also just, I didn't want to be out there with other people who know what they're doing. What was the original question? I rambled there.
No, talking about what fake it till you make it does to you. Cause I think what you're saying makes sense, right? You're saying certain things but feeling very different. So that does make sense. And then I guess my last question, cause I do want to pull in somebody who has more expertise than I do. Cause obviously this is something I'm passionate about and I could talk till I'm blue in the face about, but I want to also bring in an expert to talk through this. What do you think is the biggest thing that's holding you back from loving your body unconditionally? Besides society and like besides everything you look at. Yeah. Besides the patriarchy.
I think what stops a lot of it is that I hear like the voices of my younger self who before the fake it till you make it and of my family, like, cause we all are trying to be healthier and happier. And totally. So I think I hear these old voices in my subconscious and it's a roadblock that I still haven't gotten past.
Yeah, no. And I think you are definitely not alone. I think every person listening to this has probably had some experience that resonates with your life experience at some point in their life. In fact, only 4% of women around the world consider themselves beautiful. Do you know how mind blowing that is?
Which is insane, because more than 4% of who I see are wonderfully beautiful.
Exactly. Like every woman is beautiful. But we get so caught up in what society says. We get so caught up in what we think about our bodies compared to magazines, or I'm like totally dating myself talking about magazines, TV, I don't know, the Netflix. And a lot of women agree with us. In fact, 80% of women agree that every woman is beautiful, but don't see their own beauty, right?
Right.
But, you know, sort of in the same vein, more than half of women globally, 54%, agree that when it comes to how they look, they are their own worst beauty critic, which I think is what we're dealing with here, Kelly.
Definitely.
Because who I am seeing, obviously our listeners do not get to see this beautiful human being sitting across from me right now, but you are your own worst critic. But I want somebody who can help us sort of like talk through this, because it is sort of that hard transition to sort of mold both your inner thoughts and your outer persona. So I'm actually going to pull in Whitney Catalano, who is amazing. She is an anti-diet registered dietitian. She's helping people break free from the diet binge cycle. She's helping people heal their relationship with food, make peace with their bodies, and take the power back from their inner bullies. So I know she's really gonna help you through this. She's also the host of the popular podcast, Trust Your Body Podcast, which is not just a podcast, but a growing social media movement aimed towards eliminating societal cultures around important topics such as weight stigma, eating disorders, emotional eating, fat culture, and food addiction, amongst others. So clearly she knows what she's doing. I am so excited to welcome Whitney Catalano to the podcast.
Hello.
Hi, Whitney. So you got to hear a little bit of Kelly's story about really grappling with negative self-talk, right? But showing the world a confident face. So how what are some first steps that she can sort of take? And maybe along the way, you can explain a little bit of your journey and how you got to where you're at.
Yeah. I mean, for starters, it sounds like you are struggling with something that so many people struggle with, which is it's not just that your inner dialogue doesn't match the fake it till you make it, but it's like, it sounds like there's a little bit of you intellectually know that you're beautiful and that you like, you can feel confident about your body as well, but embodying that is, there's a disconnect there. Like you're just not really sure how to actually like buy into it.
Right.
Did I get that right?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, where do you want me to start?
Well, where is that breakdown, right? Like where does that breakdown exist between how we act and what we say to ourselves? Cause I think like a lot of, especially like empowered women, right? Want to come across as really confident. And Kelly's obviously an empowered woman. But sometimes we do have those inner demons. Like even myself, like I remember I was like three and I'm like preaching body positivity, preaching body love. And I was probably 3 months into our relationship with my boyfriend where I mentioned I was self-conscious about a part of my body and he had no idea. Cause it was all in my head and I was acting like somebody who like loves every inch. You know what I mean? So where does that breakdown happen? Why does it happen? Can you sort of like give us the logistics of that?
Well, I'm trying to think how I want to go about this. So I think for starters, I have a question. If you don't mind me asking some like follow-up questions to Kelly.
Yeah, of course.
Whose voices, like the voice that looks in the mirror when you take your shirt off, like who, I know you mentioned it was like a younger version of yourself, but get specific with me.
Usually it's my mom. Cause she and I both, I get a lot of the anxiety from her. I think both by, you know, nurture and nature. So we would do these different, you know, when I still lived at home, walking together, trying to eat healthier together and all that kind of stuff. So I hear her and we still try and do it together, even though we're far apart. So I just still hear her occasionally look at me when she sees me now and be like, you've gained a little. I know it's not your biggest concern. You don't have a lot of time, but that is what I'm seeing. So it's a lot of that kind of talk.
Okay. So not your voice.
Sometimes it is. But a lot of it is family.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that that's the first place to start, right? Recognizing that just as you kind of created the thoughts that give you confidence and make you feel good and make you feel really secure and created the words, the script for it, this is also a script. And you get to choose what scripts you want to listen to. And unfortunately, what happens, right, when we learn to feel ashamed of our bodies from a young age, likely from our parents, not that it's our parents' fault, right? Like love parents, absolutely adore them. They don't know any better either. Like turns out none of us know what we're doing. Totally fine. But when we learn that from a young age and we get really, really good at those scripts over and over and over again, especially because that's, you know, that's how we get acceptance as kids is by like copying our parents and doing what they do and you know, mimicking how they treat their own bodies and how they treat food.
Yeah, the mimicking is huge because, like you said, none of us really know what we're doing. So I was, in those terms, somewhat copying my mother's own, not disinterest, dissatisfaction with how she looked.
I think that's a really important point that you guys are both bringing up because I think so many of us watched how our mothers like looked in the mirror or were trying to lose like the baby weight, quote unquote, or, you know, pinching different things or saying things were too, like, you know, talking about sizes and stuff like that because that was such a part of –
especially the culture before us and the generation before us. I mean, it still exists, obviously, and it's very prevalent now, but I think it was even more rampant before the body positivity movement, before we knew that even like talking about even your own body. Like if I say to my friends, oh, I'm feeling so fat today, even though like, first of all, there's nothing wrong with being fat. So it's a weird sort of thing, but whatever I'm saying, like, if I say that I feel gross today or something like that, even though I'm just talking about myself, they're instantly going to start thinking about their bodies. And that's what we like, that's what we start growing. Like that's what we grow up with. And that's what you see from your parents and you see it from your friends and you just keep hearing it over and over again. And then you direct it to yourself. And that becomes, I think, Whitney, correct me if I'm wrong, your sort of like inner monologue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and just that osmosis of everything happening around you.
Absolutely. Exactly.
And it becomes this acceptance piece, right? Like we're looking for that acceptance. We're looking for that love. We're looking to fit in. And, you know, when, if you're told that your body doesn't fit what is like considered to be acceptable, then you're going to do whatever you can to make it acceptable, quote unquote, right? Because what does that even mean? But there's, and it's always arbitrary. It's different for everyone. And that's the thing that you're like, there's holes here, right? Like there's, this doesn't quite add up. But as kids, we don't really know any better. We're just like love and acceptance equal, or like weight loss and quote, eating healthy or whatever equals love and acceptance and approval and validation. And it's that simple.
Mm. And I also think it's really interesting too, Kelly, when you started talking about some of the voices in your head, the first thing you said before you said your mom would make these unfortunate comments towards you, you said, oh, we used to like work out and be healthy, which like eat healthier, eat healthier. And I think that's really interesting because I do think that we conflate like being skinny with being healthy in our society, because that's not the case, right? There's, you could, everybody can name a super skinny person that they know that is very unhealthy, whether they be, you know, have an eating disorder or, you know, maybe they have a really fast metabolism, but they still eat like crap and never work out. You know what I mean? And vice versa, you could name somebody who you know who is a little bit curvier, who works out every day, eat salad, you know what I mean? So I feel like those get so conflated in our society, like, oh, being quote unquote, being healthy and being skinny. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. No, definitely. As I've like tried to find this healthy path of, you know, not just accepting, but loving who and what my body is.
Yeah.
It's been more about finding healthy mental stuff rather than the healthy like activities. Like I said, I hate running. Can't do it. It sports bras don't contain everything. So it's dangerous. But, and I have busy schedules with rehearsals and my family and social life and, you know, standard excuses, but those are things that I'm more passionate about and keep me mentally happier and healthier than it would to go to the gym after work. Mm-hmm. So it's
which
been,
is so important.
Right.
Yeah. And that mental health is really important. And I'm curious from Whitney, like now we've sort of kind of seen where that inner voice comes from, right? It comes from, you know, her mom, or it comes, and it probably comes from all these different directions that we may not be able to even parse out. But what are some steps that Kelly can take now and some of our listeners can take literally now to start improving self-talk?
So I have a quick next question, if you don't mind, and you don't have to answer any of my questions.
By the way. God, I'm an open book. We're fine.
Okay. I'm curious if you've noticed any patterns around times when you have worse body talk versus times when your body talk is better.
Mm. I've never even thought about that. Well, because all of this recently came up because of a similar situation to yours, Hannah, where I'm in a newer relationship. We just celebrated 6 months yesterday.
Congrats.
Thank you. He's wonderful. But somewhere around that 3-4 month mark, I brought up this anxiety with him. And I mean, he was completely and utterly wonderful in, you know, it's not what he's concerned about. It's only a concern to him if it, I were to ever actually get to the point of being unhealthy in the sense of, you know, can't walk up a set of stairs. And so thinking like back to college and when I was trying to switch this script in my head, it probably came a lot after I would feel this momentary empowerment after, you know, going on a date with a guy or the first time with a guy and all that kind of stuff. And then maybe like a week or two later, it would start building back up in my head if I hadn't gone on a new date or hadn't met a new guy or something new hadn't started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll just tell you, because I think this will be really interesting for you to notice going forward, right? Now that we've talked about it, are there patterns? Because I'll tell you that with dieting or trying to like lose weight or something like that, it tends to be a coping mechanism in itself sometimes. So if we're feeling out of control in our life, when we're feeling, you know, whatever, chaotic, there's something, we're feeling unaccepted, unloved, unworthy, then it's like, oh, a diet will fix everything. And focusing on our body image, even if you're not a dieter, right? Even if you've never really been like a huge dieter, it's just kind of trying to do what you can to like support your health, right? Focusing on our body image kind of works the same way. When we are feeling a little out of control, stressed, unworthy, unloved, anxious, who, you know, you name it, we develop these patterns where it's like, well, if I could just focus on my body and obsess about my body, at least that's something that's a little bit in my control. Right. And it's a distraction from whatever else is going on that's not within my control or feels not within my control or feels like a threat to my acceptance.
Two big things for me, acceptance and control. No, yeah. That I'd never actually thought about it that way as a coping mechanism. Cause I always, because I would flip the script and say that the going out to find a new guy or diving into something else was me avoiding that. So I had never thought of it as the actual avoidance.
Well, they both can be. Yeah. Yeah. We got lots of coping mechanisms.
Yeah. And I do think that is like a great point too, because I think sometimes we get so stuck in like getting validation. And not necessarily getting that validation from within. A lot of the times we want it externally. And so in school, it's good grades or, you know, your parents telling you how great you are, boys giving you attention or girls giving you attention, whatever, you know, our listeners are into. I think there's other ways, getting the promotion at job, getting a raise, whatever. And also like, you know, sometimes losing weight is seen as a source of validation, like you have achieved something when it's really not, right? But like Whitney said, it is something that we have a little bit more control over, right? I know that that rings true to me totally. Like whenever I feel really stressed, I spend longer time in the gym. I'm like, oh, if I could just lose 3 pounds, then I'll be happy, you know, which is psychotic. If somebody's letting 3 pounds prevent you from living your happiest life, like that's when I say it out loud, like it sounds crazy, but we get stuck again in our inner self-talk, which is like this demon who like eats us alive. And it makes us think that that's the only way out. Right. And then you start obsessing on over it. Right. You start like when you take your shirt off, you're like, oh my God, this is why I don't have this and this and this and this in my life. And this is why I'm not happy. And you start taking it out on the one thing that you have your entire life. The one thing you have your entire life is your body. You get one of them, right? And you take out all of your stresses and all of your wanting and desiring and totally valid craving for validation on the very vessel that is helping you through this life. And we all do it. It is totally, totally normal. And like I said, like I gave you the statistics in the beginning, we all do it. But I'm so glad that Whitney's helping us sort of like break free from that, because we gotta treat, okay, you get one of them. You just get one. You gotta treat it right, you know? And the biggest way to treat it right, I mean, we always talk about eating healthy and exercising, but the biggest way to treat it right is how you speak about it, how you treat it, how you talk to it. You know, if you with your boyfriend were telling him, you know, you were giving him, I don't know what you give, you were giving him flowers and you were feeding him good meals and you were taking him to, you know, on a walk with you or whatever you do. But then at night you were like, yeah, but I kind of hate you. You know what I mean? That is the equivalent. Like, would he stick around? Would he be on your side? No. Like, oh, by the way, like, you're not that cute. Like, no, of course not. And that's what we do to our bodies. So you got to treat your body like your best friend or your lover. I don't know, whatever you're like, depends the time of the night. You know what I'm saying?
Lover might be a good one.
So right, Whitney, am I on the right path here?
Totally. And there's one thing I want to clarify, because, you know, we tend to treat our bodies, and this is something that I actually wrote down because I was so, I wanted to bring it up, which is, you know, one thing that you said was that, like, we take it out on something that we think we can control, right? That we have control over, which is our bodies. And I want to emphasize that it's an illusion of control because, Kelly, you said this exact thing. You said, you know, I have that voice that tells me you could fix this so easily.
Yeah.
If you could, wouldn't you have? Like, if it was that easy?
In theory. Yeah.
Right. That's because it's not easy.
Yeah.
And that's because everything physiologically in your body is designed to resist, quote, fixing it.
Hmm.
We're not designed to lose weight. That's just kind of the end of the story. Like, period, end of sentence. If we were able as human beings to lose weight from calorie restriction easily and keep it off, we probably would not have survived as a species. Like famines, wars, being displaced from your home. Like, we are designed to be able to survive through restriction and starvation and famine so that we can keep going. And the human body, what we see in the research is that anywhere from 95 to 98% of people who intentionally lose weight and successfully lose weight in the first year, then regain the weight within 2 to 5 years of that diet. And if anyone's been on a diet, you know what I'm talking about, right? Like, every single person who's ever been on more than one diet knows exactly what I'm talking about. And that's why it's true. Like, the fact that I can say that and I have people, everyone, be like, oh my God, that's why I've tried 50 of them and it's still, I'm still here. Like, yeah.
I wish our listeners could see me and Kelly just like nodding our head right now. We're like, yes, Whitney, preach it, preach it.
Yeah.
So, but it's so true. My mind is blown right now. I didn't know that statistics about, you know, our body and how evolution. I mean, it makes sense. And it also makes sense why women hold on to more weight than men, because we're meant to live longer and survive more because we're survival of the
fittest.
We need survival of the fittest.
We need the fat. Otherwise our hormones don't function. Our hormones like stop producing if we don't
and we
have
can't procreate. Exactly.
I was going to say, think of the babies.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I love that. And then I think I just want to finish off on like one question for you, Whitney, and also for you, Kelly. Because Kelly, first I want to know, when will you feel like you're not faking it? Like, what will be sort of that indication to you that you're like, oh wait, this is real?
I think it's when I will finally let go of stuff like jeans that don't fit, a dress that doesn't fit, and stop saying, I'm going to fix it and get back into this one day, when I can finally just kind of let that go and be like, this is who I am. Buy bigger jeans, you'll be happier.
Yeah. How would it feel to like do that tonight, to throw away those jeans? Like, how would that feel for you? Is that like a scary thought?
Terrifying.
Terrifying.
Yeah. You can do it in steps. I always tell my clients, you can take the clothes out a little bit at a time and then start putting into bags, or put it in bags and put it in your closet and then get the bag. You know, it's like, you could do this and it doesn't have to be all at once.
There's a box literally sitting right outside my closet right now. And I think a couple weeks ago, I took down the dress and went, okay, you haven't worn this in 2 years. It's too short. Your thighs are too big. Just toss it. Don't stop. So it's getting there, but the jeans will be the big one.
I get that. And buying new jeans is like the best feeling in the world because they fit.
They fit. It's also terrifying because you see the number go up and it's like, it doesn't matter, but it's still a number.
Yeah.
I wish we could get rid of the numbers because it's so silly. Like there's no point, you know what I mean? Like there's, and also our attachment to the numbers, that's the thing we really need to get rid of, is that attachment, right? To those numbers and what they mean for our like supposed self-worth. You know what I mean? How we sort of tie it to those numbers, the same way we tie our self-worth to grades. Whitney, what do you think it'll mean for anybody who's listening to this, and specifically Kelly, how do you know when you're not faking it? Because I think at all points, you know, I think I'm pretty far along my body positivity journey, but I think it's still at some times it creeps in. You know what I mean? That little bitch in my head creeps in and says something nasty. How do you know when you're not, you know, quote unquote, faking it?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, because this was actually kind of the last point that I wanted to make on all of this. And I think probably the most useful part of this, which is you're never going to get rid of that little bitch ever. There's always going to be, if you've been practicing these scripts for how many years, you don't even need to have been practicing them that long. Once they're there, it's kind of hard to get rid of them. And the goal should not be to get rid of them. Because one of the things that I heard you saying is, you look in the mirror and you like feel bad about your body. But then I heard you mention something like you feel bad about the fact that you feel bad.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We got to take away the top level of shame. Like the feeling bad about feeling bad is a trap. It is it's taking you nowhere good, and it's not erasing the bad feelings. It's just piling them on. So now you're just like in a shame spiral, right? Like you're feeling bad about feeling bad, then you're feeling bad about feeling bad, then, you know, like you get it. So what we really got to do is recognize in those moments, okay, I'm looking in the mirror right now and I do not feel good in my body. I'm not loving it, not thinking I'm very cute right now. And when you get that urge to feel bad about feeling bad, shut it down. Just say, okay, no, I'm just having a bad body image day. Maybe there's something I'm trying to distract from. Maybe there's something going on in my life that feels out of control and I'm projecting it on my body. Maybe I just don't like the way I look today and there's no deeper reason. It just is what it is. It doesn't have to be that deep. And maybe tomorrow will be better. Worrying about the fact this thought is there is just giving it power. So yes, as much as we can, taking a second to say, it's just a thought. It doesn't get in the way of my life. It doesn't decide if I'm happy. It doesn't decide if I'm going out with my friends or spending time with my boyfriend. It doesn't decide if I'm good enough at my job. It doesn't decide any of these things. It's just a thought. And we can either hold on to it, beat it, and push it away and be like, oh my God, this means I'm terrible. This means I don't, you know, this means I hate myself. It must mean that I'm not actually confident and that I'm just lying to everyone. Or we can just let the thought pass by and be like, ugh, bad day, you know? One of those days when the bad thoughts are just real there. Tomorrow will be better.
Yes, I love that. Not giving those thoughts the power that we do. And just taking it day by day. I think that's a really great place to sort of like end this amazing episode. I'm just so grateful for both of you opening up and sharing both your stories and your expertise. I know that being both outwardly and inwardly in love with your body may seem sometimes like it's too much to handle. But once you can achieve that love with the way you look, and like Whitney said, take it day by day and take baby steps, the world becomes a much happier place. Thank you again, both, for being here. Thank you, Kelly, for opening up, being vulnerable, sharing your story. I know it's going to resonate with so many of our listeners. It resonated with me, and I know it resonated with Whitney too. And thank you to Whitney for helping us learn to love our bodies. If you guys want more from Whitney, you can follow her at Trust Your Body Project on Instagram and on her website, www.whitneycatalano.com. If you guys have a question and want to be featured on the next episode, please be sure to send me a DM to @HannahCranston or email tmthshow@gmail.com. And please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss a single episode. And just a reminder, we'll be coming at you every Wednesday. So buckle up, because it's going to be too much to handle. See you next week.